Happy New Year, everybody! It's officially 2014. The holidays are over and we're well into the new year, and you know what that means? Well, that means it's time to buy some new toys. With a new year means new toys are on the way, and lots of goodies to be adding to our collection. So where should you be shopping to add some toys to your toy shelf? Well, that's NerdRageToys.com. That's right, Nerd Rage Toys has a wonderful selection of both vintage and new action figures. In fact, right now they've got brand new pre-orders available for the awesome new Marvel Legends from Hasbro. The new wave of amazing Spider-Man Marvel Legends and the new wave of Captain America Marvel Legends, as well as the final wave of Marvel Universe, are all available for pre-order right now at NerdRageToys.com. Those are all sure to be incredibly hot figures, and they're going to be so hard to find at retail stores. So why bother wasting all your gas by driving all around town looking store to store for the figures that you want? You should just go right on over to NerdRageToys.com and pre-order them. That way you are sure to get them delivered right to your mailbox. Other great things on the site, including the new 2014 Transformers Generations Wave, the Power Rangers Figuarts, Batman Arkham Origins, so many cool brand new figures are available to be pre-ordered right now at NerdRageToys.com. And trust me, you don't want to miss out on this stuff, because once it's gone, and you're going to be kicking yourself for not buying it. But you know what else I love about Nerd Rage Toys? Not only do they have a great selection of brand new toys, but they also have an amazing assortment of vintage toys and action figures. You got things from Mask, you've got RoboCop, you've got Silverhawks, you've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, Thundercats, Transformers, Voltron, Toxic Crusaders, so many amazing toy lines from the 80s and the 90s that you can pick up and add to your collection. So if you want something brand new to add to your toy shelf, whether it be new or vintage, you need to shop NerdRageToys.com, the official sponsor of the Geek Easy Podcast. That's NerdRageToys.com.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Welcome back to the Geek Easy. I'm Pixel Dan, and once again, I'm sitting here with my good friend Jonathan Leonard. What's going on, John?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to 2014.
2014, that's right. Feels like it's been forever since we sat down.
It's been about a month, and it feels like it's been at least six. It's got to be even more for you. You've had such a big month.
I know, right? Yeah, we had a lot of people kind of asking us why there wasn't an episode on the 31st of December. And, I mean, to be honest, the holidays got kind of hectic, crazy. Yeah. You know, we've got families.
Yeah, they're all in town or in the surrounding areas and stuff. So it's six stops every holiday,
right?
Birthdays in the mix, and
that's right. You just celebrated a birthday,
yeah. So we gotta say happy birthday. And five other people's in December,
yeah. That's crazy.
It's just a nutty month, you know.
Nutty indeed. So we knew it was going to be kind of hard to try to get one up by the end of the year there, like we were hoping to. We didn't quite make it, and then on top of that, I had a baby. Or my wife had a baby, I guess. But yes,
okay, you can take credit for
it. Okay, I'll take credit. Yes. So yes, our son Spencer was born on January 3rd. He wasn't due until the 15th, which is the day that this podcast is going live. So he came 2 weeks early, which is totally cool. Funny thing is he literally, my wife, her water broke. She went into labor 14 hours before I was supposed to get on an airplane to fly to Maryland. Because I was going to attend MAGFest. I mean, I had even put up a video talking about all the things I was going to be doing at MAGFest and everything, and then I just completely no-showed because my baby came. It's cool. I let everybody know.
Yeah, and
I
would think
to.
They would understand.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, it was funny. It was just one of those things where I was like, well, obviously he didn't want me to leave.
Clearly, yeah.
And I'm just so happy that I was here still when it happened.
Yep.
Because it would have been miserable if I was already on an airplane and I landed and got a phone call saying, I'm in the hospital, my water broke, get home as quick as you can.
That'd be the worst 12 hours ever or however long.
It would have been
terrible. My wife said something about that, and I was like, yeah, I mean, if he had been on the plane, what do you even do? And she goes, you turn around and come home. And I said, honey, I don't care how nice you ask. I don't think planes do that.
No. I would have had to land and find out what was going on and immediately try to go book a new flight home. And I would have had to go by, you know, their schedule, whatever they had to get me on. And it would have been
But
terrible.
That's all the ifs. The reality of it is you were home, and all the congratulations in the world to you,
Thank
buddy.
Thank you very
so
much.
So excited
it's,
for you.
It's pretty awesome. I'm very much enjoying the dad thing so far, and I have I've been off from work since then. I don't have to go back for another week still, which is great. I'm just spending my whole day with him,
Absolutely.
And it's awesome. Yep. It's so cool. But we're back now, getting things back in the swing of things here. I'm finally getting back to work and recording this podcast because we got a lot of fun things to talk about today.
We do. It's going to be a good episode, I think.
We want to start out with some news, I think, right? We had a couple of news items that we wanted to discuss. Yeah. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the one that I'm very excited about.
Do it.
The announcement of the WWE Network.
Can we both be excited about it?
Yeah, of course we
can. Okay, good. All right. I'm excited too then. Woo!
Of course... Jonathan and I are both big wrestling fans. Always have been.
Yep.
In fact, that's how we met, was through wrestling. You know, so it's something that we've shared together for a long time.
We watch it, we do it, we enjoy it.
That's right.
We talk on the internet about it.
Yeah.
Everything you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The WWE Network, they had, like, first announced that, like, a year ago, and they started advertising it hardcore, and we didn't really know any details about it at that time, other than it was coming.
Yeah.
And I think it was always assumed that it was just going to be, like, a cable channel that you'd be able to buy.
And that's what threw me, because they used to do the WWE 24/7 thing on, like, on demand or whatever, and it was a subscription service, and this sounded exactly like that. And that was always a really neat concept, a really neat idea, and I paid for it for a while back when I had cable, and... It was cool. I got a little bit of use out of it, but it's one of those things where the novelty was there, and then it kind of went away, and it wasn't really worth the money, and the service just wasn't up to par, and there wasn't the selection wasn't always, you know, what you were looking for. I mean, there was always nonstop wrestling. It just wasn't necessarily what you were looking for.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they announced this, and I was like, oh, cool. They're doing that again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the on-demand thing was neat. For a while, like you said, I had it too, and I think my favorite thing about it is they had the Monday Night Wars thing, where they would show you Raw and Nitro back-to-back from the same, you know, that week, so that way you can watch both of them. And I had
that
a lot of
cool.
fun reliving, you know, the 90s there, the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars. That was fun. But like you said, it was very limited on what it offered because you only got to watch whatever was available for that month.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't always something that you necessarily wanted to watch.
Yeah.
So the idea of this network sounded cool. I was definitely very interested in it. I wanted to know what it was. I didn't know for sure I was going to buy it when they were announcing it. You know, I figured at least one of our friends would get it. Like, Jaren would probably get it, and I'll just go over to his house and watch it. You know what I mean? But then the news finally broke this past week.
It broke big.
They were launching the network, and they brought out the details of it and basically announced it as, like, a standalone streaming service, very similar to Netflix.
Yes.
Which is awesome, because I love Netflix streaming.
It's amazing.
It's only $9.99 a month, and that gives you access to their streaming channel, which basically streams content 24/7, so it's like an actual channel that streams. But on top of that, you also have access to a full library that you can watch anytime you want to, very much like Netflix.
Yep.
And one of the things that they announced right out the gate, it's going to launch with every WWE, WCW, and ECW pay-per-view that has ever happened.
Everyone.
Every single one of them.
Insane.
Is going to be available for you to watch whenever you want to watch it. That right there is worth the price alone,
I
think.
That's worth $10 a month on its own.
But beyond that, this service also includes all 12 pay-per-views live throughout the year. You don't have to pay any additional cost for the pay-per-views. Even WrestleMania, which is like a $60 pay-per-view by itself.
Yep.
It's included in the price here, and it's live, just like if you ordered it on pay-per-view.
Absolutely. That's your $9.99 a month right there.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also get the option of watching Raw and SmackDown and Superstars. Not live, but still after the fact, which... like you and I discuss, is totally cool because we usually DVR those shows anyway.
Yeah, I never actually sit down on a Monday night and watch it. And it's funny, too, because I've been off and on, mostly off, on wrestling for the last close to 2 years. It was two WrestleManias ago. It was WrestleMania 28. It was so bad, in my opinion, that it got me off of wrestling for a while. And I have intended to come back into the fold a few times, and I've started and stopped and started and stopped. This is so busy, and it takes a while. You know, once you get into it, you never miss an episode. But when you're not into it, sometimes it's
hard to get back into it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been there.
I had just watched two episodes of Raw in a row, and I was gearing up for the Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania behind it, and I was going, all right, this is it. This is the time. I'm just going to watch them no matter what until I force myself back in. And two episodes in, they announced this. I'm like, all right, that's all I needed.
That's all you need, right? Now we're in. I know, and I keep telling you, too, all this time. I keep saying, it's been good. You need to watch it.
I know I've missed some really good stuff, but you know what? I can catch it on demand starting February 24th.
There you go.
All the great matches I've missed are going to be available anyway.
Go watch everything Daniel Bryan's been doing. Yeah. He's friggin' amazing. Yeah, I love that guy.
You know, it's just going to be... Oh, and it's so... Just the fact, not only are you getting the pay-per-views for free on that, and the old content, they're also producing some new content directly for the channel. And some of it sounds pretty campy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, like, really cheap reality TV-based stuff. But it's the WWE, so what they're going to be doing is making fun of most of that reality stuff anyway, right, and making fun of themselves at the same time. And it's not, I wouldn't consider most of that stuff a selling point, but it'll be a real neat bonus. Like, they're doing that Legends House.
Yeah.
You know, which is just all a bunch of old wrestlers right, on the real world, basically.
I know.
You know? Yeah.
That just sounds too goofy not to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, we have to watch that.
Exactly. And that, and plus all the, original content that's coming out, either live or on demand as it comes, it's just such a huge thing. And for $9.99 a month, it seems like an unbelievably low price.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that pops to some people's minds, I think, because I've read a couple of articles going, well, how in the world do they offer $60 pay-per-views that cheap? And basically, I haven't gone in and studied the math of it, but they've boiled it down and said, look, if they got 4 million people to sign up for this thing, it would equal their entire revenue from last year.
Yeah.
You know? Every bit of it.
I think they basically said if the same number of people that watch Raw were to buy the service, they would surpass the amount of money they made last year.
Exactly. And that's just buying the service. That doesn't count all the stuff that they still normally do. So
they
really don't have to sell a lot of this to do it. And even if their pay-per-view buy rates plummet, which clearly they will, I don't think they'll erase. But that's the other thing, too, is you think, well, for $40, it's going to buy you a pay-per-view. But you're going to buy that pay-per-view for $40 and then invite 10 friends over.
Right,
and now those 10
exactly.
friends are all spending $10 a piece anyway because they all want the channel. So it's, it's not that clean cut, but it's going to work out and it's going to be successful. And that's the important part about it. And that's where it delves over into, even if you're not a wrestling fan and you're sitting there listening to this, even if you just like pop culture and geek stuff and whatever, this is going to revolutionize television.
It really
is. Yeah, Vince McMahon has done a good thing for all of us. And I've read a couple of, there was a Forbes article somebody sent us.
Yep.
And some, like, legitimate news and money places who don't care at all about wrestling, who have just sat back and went, the WWE just did something big, guys. Like, you don't know it yet, because if you don't watch wrestling and you weren't paying attention to the press conference and you don't care at all. So you don't realize that this is going to impact your world. But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, for sure, we're going to be able to look back on this and go, you know what? They did something big. And it changed a lot of stuff, because they are taking a lot of power away from cable channels, cable providers, and all that stuff. That was another thing you brought up earlier, is just the fact that all of the leverage they're going to have for, I mean, when it comes time to renew their contracts for Raw,
yep.
because they can't do Raw live on the network right now because it's on USA, and USA wants people to order USA and watch it on USA, and that makes total sense and good for USA. But when they come back to sit down at contract negotiating tables and decide who's going to pay what for what, and USA quotes them a price, and they go, you know what, we got our own network.
Right.
We'll just go put it on there.
Then that's
the ball's in their court. And anything that takes power away from Comcast.
Yes.
Or
no kidding,
any
right?
of these cable providers that continuously, I mean, two of them continuously make the top five most hated companies in America every year.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's expensive. It's because it's overly expensive. The service is terrible. They're unforgiving. It's just bad business. And there's too much digital media these days for us as consumers to put up with that.
Yeah.
And pretty soon we won't have to, because new ideas and innovations are coming out. They're going to fix all of that and put all of those guys out of work, and we'll be able to thank Vince McMahon for every bit of it. And that's awesome.
And yeah, man, can you imagine? Because, like, WWE Raw is what makes USA such a big network right now. That's their number one rated program. It's what's bringing them all the money right now. If USA loses Raw, that's a big hit. So they're going to want to do everything that they can to try to keep Raw. And with Vince just going, look, I'll just put this on my own network unless you guys give me this much money, they're going to be in a place where they got no choice but to pay him, or somebody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
Or he's going to put it on his network,
yeah,
in which case he will get more people to subscribe, yep, to it because they won't want to miss Raw.
Yep, absolutely.
So either way, they're going to make a ton of money, yeah, off of this.
Absolutely.
Either way. And even as far as pay-per-view is concerned, isn't Vince McMahon kind of the guy who really made pay-per-view a thing with the wrestling pay-per-views?
Yeah, I think, I mean, wrestling's been the biggest, most consistent thing, yes, on there. I mean, they do boxing and whatnot also, and those get big buys, but they're not on UFC nowadays,
right,
you know, they do, but Vince is definitely the one who put it on the map.
Yes.
You know, and
so
and
if
I'm
he's
sure
going to take it away, yeah, now, whatever, you know.
I'm sure is the one who's most consistently utilizing it and making it, yep, a big thing. So, yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's not going to hurt him, really, to move, yeah, this over, because he's just going to be making all his money on his own network,
yep,
now, and he doesn't really need pay-per-view anymore. So
yep,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's exciting, yep, and I'm excited to finally get that and just... Like, I keep joking that there's going to be so much wrestling on in my house now, my wife is not going to be very happy. Because it's just, anytime I'm bored now, I'm going to be like, let's go see what old pay-per-view I want to watch, you know, or anything like that. It's going to be awesome. And even, like, when we get together to watch stuff like WrestleMania,
mm-hmm,
we always make it an all-day event. You know, mm-hmm, we sit down, we watch a bunch of past WrestleMania matches,
yep,
to get excited for it. And this network is going to make that process even more fun, because
mm-hmm,
now we've got this whole library that we can easily skim through,
yeah,
play whatever we want from any of it, you know, all day long,
yep,
waiting for Mania,
yep,
to
we
start.
We don't have to dig through the pile to find the right DVD and pop it in and wait for it to load and wait for those,
exactly,
commercials to play that play on every single one of them,
yeah,
and all that stuff. No,
don't try this at home.
Yep. Just a few more clicks of the remote and you're there.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So I'm excited to see how this does. I'm excited to see what spawns because of it.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing is incredibly,
yeah,
exciting news. So definitely the biggest announcement from this past week.
It's the
week,
biggest news,
opinion,
you've ever heard.
Ever?
Ever.
In the history of ever.
In all of 2014.
It probably
nothing
is.
Nothing bigger. But we've got a close second.
Sure. What's the close second? Go ahead and tell us about it, Johnny.
By luck of scheduling, we happen to be taping this episode today, the same day that Marvel has released some big news.
Sweet.
More casting for Ant-Man. They announced Paul Rudd several weeks ago, but I don't remember if it was before we taped the last episode or not, so I'm not sure if we've talked about it on the show. But they announced Paul Rudd as the star of Ant-Man, which I'm for. I love. I
That's
like Paul
awesome.
Rudd. I don't know a lot about Ant-Man anyway, so anything they give me, I'm pretty happy with, you know?
yeah.
You know, so I thought that was very neat, but then there was a lot of questions of, well, is it going to be Hank Pym or is it going to be Scott Lang? And that's another thing. I had never really heard of Scott Lang until...
I know, me neither. I mean, yeah, this is right here kind of shows you how I'm not really that involved with, like, current comic book stuff or even a lot of it. I mean, like, I know basic stuff about comics. I knew who Hank Pym was.
Yeah.
I knew that Hank Pym was Ant-Man, so that's who I assumed it was.
Yep.
I didn't know who Scott Lang,
yep,
was until
and,
we started hearing
and
this
And that's
news,
exactly
so.
The same thing, because I kept hearing that and I kept going, well, that's the internet trying to figure out ways. That's like with... Every time they talk about Green Lantern, it's like, well, is it Kyle or is it Hal or is it John Stewart or who's it going to be? And I was like, well, they usually stick with their big guns, so this is something the internet kind of makes up. Clearly, it's going to be Hank Pym, and that's said and done. And then, well, they just announced today, because they never did officially say who Paul Rudd was playing, and they announced today that Michael Douglas will actually be playing Hank Pym in the Ant-Man movie.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yep, so Michael Douglas is actually playing Ant-Man. Also, Paul Rudd will be playing Scott Lang. Now, story details are scarce, and again, I just don't know enough about Ant-Man to start making a whole lot of speculations. Based on what I've read and some people I've talked to, it sounds like they've had some plans of kind of making this sort of a heist flick anyway, and my understanding is that the Scott Lang character is a thief-turned-hero. So I know some friends who know a little bit about Ant-Man, and one of them was saying his assumption is that it's going to be, for whatever reason, Scott Lang stealing the Ant-Man suit and powers and everything from Hank Pym, and then I'm sure they'll end up teaming up or something. There was mention when it was first released, the article mentioned something about Michael Douglas and Hank Pym being the villains of the movie. Now, I didn't
That's
actually,
so weird.
Yeah, they went in and updated it afterwards before I ever read it. Like, the article that I read linked to another one, and by the time I got to it, they had erased any mention of him being villain. My assumption there is, instead, not necessarily villain, but more antagonist, they probably mean. For some reason, you know, the two are adversaries and something goes down. But I'm sure by the end they'll end up teaming up. I don't think they're just going to make Hank Pym a bad guy.
Yeah, that'd be weird, right?
Yeah, that'd be pretty bizarre. Even for people who don't know Ant-Man that well, we at least know that Hank Pym's a good guy. You know?
Yeah.
So, but whatever they do, and that's another thing, you know, I've learned Marvel has not given me any reason to particularly question their logic. They keep delivering entertaining movie after entertaining movie, and now they've got a big name attached to this one to kind of legitimize it. They're starting to get some of old Hollywood into these movies, which is awesome. Yeah. Robert Redford's in Captain America 2, and now Michael Douglas is going to be in Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's a pretty big name. That's cool.
To kick off Phase 3. So it's just, I mean, it's not groundbreaking or world-shattering necessarily, but it's pretty neat, and I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. I am excited, and we're getting really close to, like, Captain America 2, and you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been a lot of fun. So it's like, it's been a lot of really great Marvel, and I'm just so excited to see all the new stuff. Yep. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, we try to be objective. We're totally Marvel guys.
We are Marvel guys. I have always been a Marvel guy. Look, I love me some Batman, and I know you love Superman, but through and through, I am a Marvel guy.
Absolutely.
I always have been a Marvel guy.
And plus the fact that, inarguably, they're doing it right.
Whether
you think DC is also doing it right or not, that doesn't matter. Marvel is doing it right.
I agree.
Nobody argues that.
I agree. Awesome. Well, now that we got the news out of the way, I thought it would be really fun for this particular episode, since it's the first one of 2014, to kind of reflect back on 2013 a little bit and talk about some of the best that came out of that year. So what I asked you to do was put together a list of the best movies that you thought were released, and I put together a list of the best toys that were released, kind of talk up our strong suits here, and kind of run down our list. So do you want to start with movies or toys?
I can go and do movies first.
Do the movies first. Let's do it.
I want to throw a couple of disclaimers out there. First of all, this isn't a list of best movies necessarily of 2013 so much as notable favorites of mine.
Absolutely.
Because some of these movies, I'm not 100% sure. No, these are all good. I was going to say, when I was going through the list trying to put it together, I wasn't 100% sure everything I was looking at classified as a quote-unquote good movie.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stuff's just stuff I really like, you know?
Right.
The other thing is, around awards season, the last couple of years, I've been going to these big marathons at our local theater for all the Academy Award movies. So if there's a movie out there that I know for sure is going to be nominated, or I'm 90% sure, a lot of times I sort of avoid it until Oscar season. So your American Hustles, your Wolf of Wall Street, 12 Years a Slave, some of these big movies that have come out that have gotten a lot of critical praise, I haven't seen them. So they're not going to show up on my list yet, you know?
Right.
So my list today and my list in March may look totally different.
Yeah, okay.
So mostly today is just movies I had a lot of fun watching, a lot of action stuff on here, just stuff that turned my head for one reason or another. But some of my favorites for 2013, and it was funny, too. We were supposed to do five, and Dan, I came over, and Dan says, you know, I couldn't stop at five, so I got 10 here. Is that going to be okay? I said, yeah, that's probably good, because I had trouble getting to five. It hadn't been a great year, you
Opposite
know?
Problems.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of fun stuff in theaters. There's just not a lot of standout stuff that I think necessarily belongs on a list, you know? So I will start off my number five. I went ahead and threw Catching Fire on there, the new Hunger Games movie.
Sweet.
Yep. And I really enjoy those movies. I'm not a Hunger Games guy. I've never read the books. I'm not super excited every time the movie comes out, but the two have come out and I've gone to watch them. I thoroughly enjoyed them.
Absolutely.
I think Catching Fire also gets some special note because it just made all the money this year.
Yeah.
It finally surpassed Iron Man 3 as the top moneymaker of the year.
Ooh, wow.
And to be able to do that with a Twilight style following, but still deliver a pretty good movie, I think says a lot for the filmmakers.
It's so much better than the Twilight
exactly
stuff.
And that's the thing. I mean, those guys, I mean, they didn't have to put any effort into their films. They could just print money, and that's what they did. And these guys probably could do the same, but they're still going out there and getting, you know, real performers, real directors, and they're making real solid stories. So kudos to Catching Fire, and a very, very enjoyable movie.
Absolutely.
Number four on my list, I put Thor: The Dark World.
Oh, yeah.
More Marvel fare, you know. and I think this was the standout Marvel movie of the year to me. Iron Man 3, spoiler alert, did not make my list, though I did really enjoy it. I think I was going to put one of the two on here, and Thor is what it came down to for me. And it essentially boils down to, man, as entertaining as Robert Downey Jr. is, and I love all the Iron Man movies, the Thor movies continue to catch me off guard, and that includes the Avengers and Thor's part of it, because, as we've talked about on the show before, you shouldn't be able to do that entertaining of a Thor.
Right.
It's just not that entertaining of a character, I never thought. I just never got into it at all. And now all of a sudden, these movies are coming out, and it feels like a different thing every time, and it's all super entertaining. And that's what stood out as special about The Dark World to me, because the first Thor was an origin story, a fish out of water tale, and it was really neat, and it was a lot of fun, and very simple, but very funny and enjoyable. And this movie felt more like, you know, Lord of the Rings meets Star Wars. Meets action epic, and it just had a different. It still had humorous moments, and all the characters were still in there, and you know, they stayed true to form. But it's like they were completely transported from one movie to another, total different style of movie, and it still turned out very entertaining. And I'll give them credit for that. So
awesome,
great there. Number three on my list is an oldie but a goodie in more ways than one: the Evil Dead remake.
I did not see that.
Man, you need to.
I know. I really want to
see
it. Okay, for sure.
It is. I got to be honest. When I was watching the trailers for that movie, it looked like pure torture porn to me.
Yeah.
I went to watch it solely based on the fact that Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi had both signed off on it and given their approval for it and everything, and the fact that it did look terrifying to me. And I don't get scared at a lot of movies. So when you show me a preview that actually makes me cringe, whether it's for fear or for, you know, the gore stuff, it piques my interest. So I really did want to see what they were doing with it. And as it turns out, it's one of the truest remakes I think I've ever seen. The first one was so campy and so low budget, you know, back in 81, I think it came out, because that's what they had to work with, and that's what they did. Now, you turn around and you make a huge, you know, a big budget. Well, I don't know if huge by the original standards, for sure.
Right.
But you make a movie with actual money to put into it and make it good. They took out the Ash character, which, on the one hand, kind of scared me. On the other hand, I went, well, they're not going to replace Bruce Campbell anyway, so this might be the smarter way to do it. And that's exactly what it turned out to be. It's a remake from the ground up. It's like we think of a remake and we go, all right, well, I saw an old version of this movie, and now I'm going to see a new version with similar scenes and similar, you know, storylines, and the characters are going to be redone in a different way and everything. And it's like the Evil Dead remake, they took it a step backwards, and they went, all right, let's not remake the Evil Dead from the film stage. Let's not look at the movie and redo that. Let's remake the Evil Dead from back at the script phase. From back at the, or even before then, maybe, back at the starting phase, before we even had characters fleshed out, but when we just had a concept for this really creepy movie that happens in this cabin out in the middle of nowhere, and these demons come, let's pretend we didn't have anything but that idea, and what would that look like today? And it stays so true to the original as far as what you know they wanted out of the tone and what their kind of goals were, but it puts a more serious twist and a more, you know, budgeted movie into it. So the special effects are great. The movie is legitimately creepy. It is an all new version of Evil Dead, but still true to the original. They just did a lot of good stuff in this movie. And as a fan of the first series and knowing how, you know, goofy they ended up getting, I really thought there'd never be a time in my life where I'd see a legitimately scary Evil Dead movie,
right,
but they ended up giving me one.
Awesome.
And spoiler alert, I guess, if you watch through the whole way, they do give you a little bit of an extra nod to the original somewhere in there. I don't know if they'll ever do anything with it, or if they meant anything by it, or if it was just a shout out to the fans, but either way, it's a neat little acknowledgement there. So
nice.
Very, very good. Very, very
I do
good
need
flick.
To see that.
Yeah,
we need to sit down and do that one night.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, number two on my list was Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, yeah!
It's another sort of a first, not necessarily a first, but I thought it was a cool concept, because how often do you see a remake of a sequel?
Yeah, right?
You know, you really don't. You know, if you see the remake from an old franchise flick, usually it kind of branches off into its own thing, but this was legitimately just, hey, what if we redid Star Trek II now that everybody knows who these characters are?
Right.
You know, and they went for it, and it was sort of a secret, sort of not a secret going in. I let myself be surprised about it, even though the entire time they were talking about this movie, they were talking about it being Khan.
Right.
Oh, spoiler alert, it's Khan.
Yeah, everybody should know by now.
Yeah. You know, they had talked about it, and then they had said it wasn't, and then they said it was, and then they stopped saying anything at all. So it just had that air about it. But I still allowed myself to go in with the benefit of the doubt and go, okay, Here's my fear is I'm going to get super excited that it is con and then it's not going to be, and I'm going to be upset. So I'm just going to go in clean slate, not care. And then when they did the reveal, it's like, I know what's coming, and I'm super happy about it. It was hilarious, too. When I saw it with my dad, we're sitting there, and the scene, again, I'm sure everybody who cares has seen it by now. The scene is Benedict Cumberbatch, who played a wonderful con, sitting in this jail cell, and he's starting to tell his history, and then the true fans immediately recognize what's going on. I'm sitting there next to my dad, and as soon as he starts talking, my dad starts hitting me in the arm real hard, like with his shoulder, just like nudging me, and he just starts going, Ricardo Montalban, Ricardo Montalban, Ricardo Montalban, who's who? And that's who played the original Khan right. back in Star Trek, too.
That would have been awesome, you know, that's what he said his name was.
So my I thought it was hilarious.
Ricardo Montalban.
But I just thought, I mean, as much as I loved Star Trek from 09, it's always scary to come in with that second part, and it was a 4-year difference there. It's been a while since that last movie's come out, and you're confident that it's going to be a pretty good movie, but you don't know that they're really going to find something special to do with it, and whether you saw it coming or not, I think that you should probably be able to agree that they did do something special with it. They made a really nice homage to a really great old Star Trek
movie. I think
movie.
So, too, and I feel like that movie just gets a really bad rap for no reason, because a lot of people just really didn't like it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I would probably rank that as my favorite movie of the year, mm-hmm. I think, because I really enjoyed it, and we even watched Wrath of Khan right before going yep. to see it, just to kind of prepare ourselves in case it was yep. Khan. And I was so glad that we did that, because we really got to notice how similar the two movies
yeah.
were.
Yeah.
Because even though they went about telling the story differently, because it's a new universe, there were still so many things in that film that were either direct nods to Wrath of Khan,
uh-huh.
or the scenes were even shot exactly the same way,
yeah, yep.
just with some alternate characters in place.
Yeah.
And that was just amazing
yeah,
to
it
me.
It was really,
I was so blown away by how cool that was. It was just, I loved it, every
yeah.
bit of it.
And I think that's one of the, I'm pretty sure it got fairly positive response, just not as big as we expected it to be.
Well, I know that
there were a lot of detractors for it, but there were a lot of pro-sayers, too, and it did make a decent amount of money.
At the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, they ranked it as the worst Star Trek film of all time.
Are you kidding
no,
me?
No, isn't that ridiculous?
That is absurd.
So for some reason, the hardcore Trekkies just hate this new Star Trek universe, and I would consider myself a pretty big Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
I love the original series. I really love The Next Generation. I still watch both of them regularly on Netflix, and I really like these new movies.
Yeah.
I think they are very well done. I think they're a great way to kind of bring these movies into a new era with a new audience
yep.
and introduce them to these characters and still like leave the old stuff untouched.
Yeah, it's such a perfect
You know
concept,
what I mean?
You know?
I think it's fantastic, because there's no reason we can't still enjoy the old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just because these new movies exist.
Yeah,
I will
absolutely.
Never understand why anybody...
And they found a way to make them both coexist, and you
right.
can't even argue with them.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, regardless of what the Trekkies in Vegas or Los Angeles...
It was Las
wherever,
Vegas.
Yeah.
That's where the Star Trek convention happens.
Regardless of what they say, this is my second favorite movie of the year.
Awesome.
I loved it.
It's my first favorite of the year.
My first one comes on a bit of a sad note.
Oh,
because,
no.
Because I miss Paul Walker.
Oh, man.
But Fast 6 was definitely my favorite movie of the year from everything I've seen. And that was true. You can ask Dan. That's been true long before any bad news happened. I have been on that movie's bandwagon since the beginning. Ever since Fast and Furious 4. Well, Fast and Furious, which was The Fast and the Furious 4. It's
yeah.
very confusing.
Yeah, I know the names of those movies.
Ever since 4 started hitting, though, those movies, in my mind, have been getting progressively more fun. Now, again, I'll say, not better, necessarily. I'm not going to argue that these are, you know, Citizen Kanes of the modern day or anything
right.
like that. But, man, they are fun, high-energy, super cool movies. The action's always great. You know, the characters are just, you know, it's like watching your buddies up there on screen.
Yeah.
Blowing up stuff in cars, you know, and I am not a car guy at all.
That's exactly what I was
going to say. I can't stand cars.
Yeah.
I'm not a hip hop guy at all. You know, I don't follow any of the music or any of that stuff they do in those movies. But for whatever reason, they threw Vin Diesel and Paul Walker into the roles of these hip hop car guys. And I have just been eating it up for like a
right.
decade.
I know, it's
you know,
crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with me, because I'm the same. I mean, that's not really my scene at all,
mm-hmm.
you know? And even those types of movies aren't movies that really interest me. I don't really care about racing. I don't you know, I'm not the kind of guy that I don't soup up cars or need to do cool things with my cars. Like, that's cool that people like that sort of thing. It's just never been something
that
I've cared about.
I just don't care.
Yeah. And so, like, the first time I remember going to see Fast and the Furious, the very first one that came out, like you said, like a decade ago or longer than that, I went to it with some friends thinking, whatever, I'll go see this movie. And then I really liked it.
Yeah.
And it's been the same, like, especially since we started seeing these newer ones. I mean, they've just been so much fun.
Oh,
they're so good. We got The Rock in there now, and that's awesome. And I have absolutely enjoyed those films. And I am very sad about Paul Walker.
Yeah, I know. It's just such a bummer. And, you know, you hear all these stories afterwards about what a nice guy he was, too. And it's, I mean, I guess you hear that about everybody when they pass, and maybe they're all true and maybe they aren't, but there just seems to be some legitimate, you know, Paul Walker just seemed to be a legitimately cool, relaxed, friendly guy.
Yeah.
You know, who'd go out of his way to be nice to you and just kind of stayed out of a lot of the limelight and stuff like that. And you hear all these weird things after a lot of people pass, and you hear all these great things after a lot of people pass, but just it's one of those where you go, you know what? I didn't really do a lot of Paul Walker studying because I just loved him in these movies. And, and I've always liked Paul Walker in a lot of stuff.
Right.
Running Scared is a great movie. I'm guessing you probably haven't seen it because it was kind of, it was kind of one of those in the background movies, but it's a really cool flick. We just rewatched that recently, actually, after it happened, kind of in memorial, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I liked Timeline. I'm a big Dick Donner fan. That probably wasn't a great movie either, but I enjoyed it. Into the Blue, you know, the old days with Varsity Blues and She's All That.
Yeah.
You know, like, just he's one of those guys, every time he shows up, I'm like, all right, that even when he's playing a bad guy, it's like he's somehow likable, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just really, really sad stuff. But to get on to the why we brought it up in the first place is just that... sitting down in the theater to watch a movie and hoping you're going to have a good time, my adrenaline was up the entire time I was watching Fast 6, which is the minimum a third time in a row they've done this.
Yeah.
And it keeps getting better and better. And there was a point, I think we've mentioned Jaren 100 times on this
show. Yeah, yeah.
I was there with our friend Jaren watching it, and there was a point where both of us literally left our seats in that movie. Literally.
Well, it was the after credit scene,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the after credit scene. Gosh, like, we were up on our feet for a second and then back down. And I even, because my wife gets embarrassed by some of this stuff sometimes, and sometimes that's hilarious to me, and sometimes I apologize to her. And this happens to be one, because I mean, we were in a packed house. The whole theater was pretty full. And I leaned over to her, and I went, did I just leave my seat? And she goes, yep. And I said, I'm sorry. And she goes, it's okay. Pretty sure everyone did. You know? And to get that kind of reaction out of a movie, man, especially out of, you know, dumb popcorn, you know, fun fiction stuff, you know, that's a great energy to carry. And the franchise reinvents itself whenever it needs to, and it keeps pushing strong. And I was really looking forward to three more movies with the whole crew. And now, you know, we get one more that's going to have hopefully a decent amount of Paul Walker in it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But no matter what happens, Fast 6 was the movie of 2013 that made me stand up.
So I didn't see that with you guys, but I saw it very shortly after with Christina at the drive-in theater.
Yeah.
And I had the exact same reaction sitting in my car. Like, I seriously probably, like, could have flown through the roof of my car because that scene came up and I was just like, ah! You know? Like, I got so excited. And I remember because, like, I immediately, like, texted Jaren about it, I think, right afterwards. And I was
I'm sure you did, my God!
You know? Like, so, yeah. So I was very excited to see the next Fast movie because of that scene, you know? And that makes the whole Paul Walker thing even more sad.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer. So there's a few things I had for honorable mention I'll run through real quick. I won't go through big rundowns. We already talked about Iron Man 3. Let's say a great flick. Really enjoy the Iron Man movies and everything Marvel does. It just didn't quite crack the top, but it was right up there. I mean, I didn't think it fell off at all. You hear that about some of the sequels, too. Well, it's not as good as the first. Well, obviously it's not as good as the first. But it's still really fun, you know?
Yeah.
I put The Last Stand on my honorable mention, not because it was particularly great. This was way back in January 2013, but that because it marked the return of Arnold Schwarzenegger to the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was a cool flick. It was just a very 80s-style, simple action movie.
Awesome.
A little bit of self-deprecating humor,
heck
some
yeah,
Johnny Knoxville, some Louis Guzman. Just a fun little flick right there. I put Olympus Has Fallen on here. If you had told me at the beginning of 2013 that there was going to be a Superman movie and a Die Hard movie come out this year, and neither one of them would come anywhere close to cracking my top five, I'd have slapped you in your fool mouth.
A Die Hard movie.
Turns out neither of them were that good. Who could have known? But Olympus Has Fallen, I thought, was like the Die Hard movie that 2013 should have given us with John McClane.
Right.
Because the actual Die Hard movie was kind of a letdown. Olympus Has Fallen just followed that exact formula of, well, it's a guy stuck in the White House by himself. It's Die Hard in the White House.
Right.
But with Gerard Butler, and it was a lot of fun, you know. And they're doing a sequel already.
Oh,
I think
wow.
Might be coming out. It can't be coming out this year.
So
it might be another 2015.
Olympus Has Fallen again.
I'm not sure. but I thought it was a fun movie. I wouldn't mind seeing a few more of those. This Is the End gets an honorable mention because it was very meta and just super
that
fun.
We watched that.
Yeah,
we
got together with a few beers and a bunch of friends and just sat around my living room and watched that. And it was a good time. The Wolverine I want to throw on there. Not officially a Marvel movie, but it's really nice to see positive X-Men movies.
Absolutely.
We've talked about that a few times, so definitely worth the mention there. And Pacific Rim, I had a lot of fun with.
I still have yet to see that, but I got it finally at Christmas.
Yeah. And I think you're going to like it. And
I'm
again,
excited
it's
to
one of those,
it.
It's not, you know, I mean, if they make another one, I'll go see it. If it falls away into existence as a one-shot, it was a good time at the theater. Ron Perlman was fun. It was nice to see Jax from Sons of Anarchy hitting the big screen.
I heard a lot of positive buzz about that
movie.
Yeah,
I love Charlie Day anytime he's in anything. And it's just it's a fun 2 hours to sit there and watch giant robots fight monsters.
Sweet. All right. Well, good lists on the movies. So now we're going to go ahead and jump over to the toys list. And like Jonathan told you guys, I kind of went a little above and beyond and I did a top 10 list because I was like, it's going to be really hard to come up with 5 toys, I think, because I always have a hard time ranking things because I like toys.
Yep.
I just like things, you know?
Yeah,
and
it's
hard to put things in order of how much I like them sometimes. But as I'm sitting there writing down some of my favorite things that came out, I realized that I easily wrote down like 7 without thinking about it. And I was like, I better go ahead and just go to 10 then. So we'll go ahead and start with number 10. I always like kind of putting in some of the stuff that comes out from the smaller independent guys because I'm a big fan of some of the things that they do. So in my number 10 spot, this is actually 2 different toys, but they're kind of under the same banner now. It's the Mortals and RoboForce by Toyfinity. If you would have told me that we'd be getting brand new toys from 2 very obscure lines from the 80s in RoboForce and Rocks and Bugs and Things, which is where the Mortals come from, I'd have thought you were crazy, because it's just like sometimes there's these, so many things came out in the 80s. You know, that was a big time for toys, and it was one of those eras where like every toy company was just putting out all kinds of crazy things, trying to find something that would catch.
Yep.
So you look at that era, and there's just so many random toys, and a lot of things people had forgotten about. RoboForce and Rocks and Bugs and Things are both very obscure lines from the 80s, but the fact that they've come back and that they're really cool is something just so fun to me. Like, that's exciting. Yeah. I like seeing things get rebounded like that and, like, just kind of come back out of nowhere, especially when it's obscure stuff. The RoboForce toys are really cool. They kind of came out right at the end of the year there, and they're still going, so I'm really excited to see what's coming. But, you know, they use the Glio system, which means you can pull apart the figures completely. You can mix and match them, which is something the old ones didn't do. So it kind of adds this whole new level to these figures, and, like, for anybody that's already collecting those style of toys, they would like these too, so it totally appeals to those fans and fans of the vintage RoboForce line. Really cool. And the Mortals, like I was telling you before we were recording, the Rocks and Bugs and Things line, the main focus of that line were actually the monsters, but each of them came with these little minifigures of these guys called the Mortals, and the whole idea was that they were supposed to eat these little guys. Well, they've kind of become like this legend, this obscure legend over the years, basically, because everybody lost those little things when they were kids, so you can't find them anymore. So Toyfinity was just like, well, we'll just make new Mortals, and they did, and they're just selling them in these big groups, so people can now buy these, finally add them to their collections. It's really kind of appealing to people who like minifigures and stuff like that. So they
made
my
really neat looking.
They're really fun. So that made my number 10 slot, just because they're so much fun. Number 9 is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Classics Bebop and Rocksteady. Again, they're 2 different figures, but they go together, I think. They were released together.
Yeah, that's a joint thing.
It's a duo, right? Yeah. You pair them together. They're a little bit lower on my list, probably, than I ranked like the Turtles themselves who came out the year before, because I didn't feel that Bebop and Rocksteady were quite as good as the 4 Turtles. They cut some of the articulation on them for some reason. I think the biggest bummer is that their ankles don't move, so their feet are just stuck in a static pose. That was my biggest complaint about them, though. Otherwise, they're pretty great figures. They had a little bit of criticism because they're kind of a stylized sculpt, whereas the four turtles, they made them look exactly like they looked in the cartoon series, and Bebop and Rocksteady, they kind of took some artistic license with them and kind of almost... It's very relatable to what they did with He-Man in the 2002 era, where they kind of just amped him up a little bit, made him look a little more realistic. That's what they did with Bebop and Rocksteady. And they actually got a little bit of criticism for that because people were
I thought they looked
great. They are really cool. And it's just one of those weird things where people were like, why did you make the turtles look like the cartoon and then make Bebop and Rocksteady look a little more stylized? And I think that was the only real issue is that...
Which I guess that argument makes sense.
Yeah,
just, I never even thought of that when you showed them to me. I just went, hey, those look great.
They look cool, right? And that's the thing. Like, when I got them in hand, I was like, oh, these are just so great. These are so cool. And it's just so neat that we're finally getting these new super articulated versions of the classic Ninja Turtles. I wish they were coming out more often, but they're seriously only releasing, like, that's all they released this whole year were those two figures.
Oh, wow.
And next year they're releasing the movie-style Ninja Turtles based on the original movie.
Oh, really?
So I'm kind of excited about that, but I would love to see more characters. I want to see a Shredder, obviously, and stuff like that. So
they
don't have anything like that. Nope, they've done the
Splinter
four.
Splinter or anybody.
They did the four turtles in last year, and then Bebop and Rocksteady this past year. So that's all they've done. Yeah, so I'm hoping that the line lives long enough to give us at least the core group. But I really like Bebop and Rocksteady. Number eight on my list is the Alien Reaction line by Super 7 and Funko. We've talked about this line on the show before in our R-rated movies episode. I think this is just such a fun concept that it couldn't not make my list. Basically, what Super 7 did is they found the molds to these original Kenner Alien figures that were supposed to be released back in 79 that did not get released because of that whole controversy over making toys based on rated R movies. They got the license. They were able to go ahead and finally manufacture these. So they gave us this wave of five figures that were supposed to come out back in 79. They finally released them. So there are these awesome vintage Kenner style figures, very similar to the old Star Wars stuff they were doing. They even come on packages that look like the old Star Wars figures, but they're characters from Alien.
Yep, and those are the exact figures that were supposed to come out.
Exactly. Right? Yep. Okay. They use the old molds and everything, apparently, or they reproduce the old molds. So these are the figures that were supposed to come out that didn't. And now they're out. And I think that alone is just something incredibly special.
Absolutely.
Especially for longtime fans of the franchise. You know, maybe some of these people remember hoping to have toys of that movie and never did, and now they can finally buy them and add them to their collection. But the other thing that's so remarkable about that is it got so popular so quick that Funko kind of jumped in with Super 7, and Funko has been awesome. I mean, they make a lot of really fun stuff that I like, and they've picked up a lot of big licenses this past year.
Plus, they're called Funko.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a really cool company. So now they're helping Super 7 with this reaction line, and they are using all the licenses that they've already got the rights to make brand new vintage-styled figures, which is a crazy concept. So they're doing new figures that look like old figures of some of their properties like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Firefly, Back to the Future, Bill and Ted. They've announced all these lines, and they're all coming out in the next year. So that alone, I felt, was worth it to put the Alien Reaction line on the list for this year, because it's going to open up this whole new, like, genre of collectible figure in the next year.
Yeah, and as a toy guy who used to be a toy guy that isn't much of a toy guy anymore, that goes to the store and goes, hey, this toy looks neat, $25, and then runs away screaming. They're pretty affordable, aren't they?
They are. I think the Alien ones went for about $10 a piece.
Yeah.
I think the Alien himself might be a little bit more, but that's because people marked him up because he's the one that everybody wants.
Yeah.
But if you bought him like as a full set, like I did, it averages out to be about $10 a piece, which isn't so bad.
That's not bad at all comparatively to everything else that's on the
market.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And it helps because they're just basic. They're 5 points of articulation. There's not a lot of tooling that goes into them, so they can keep them a little bit more affordable. So really fun line. And I think vintage fans for sure will really be scooping all this stuff up. All right, number seven on my list, kind of following a very similar theme. And again, this is more than one figure, but it's all one set, so I'm counting it as one slot. It's the Kenner wave of Predator figures from NECA Toys. I was completely gaga over these. And this is another one that we talked about previously, but what NECA did, because they have the license to Predator, they've been making Predator toys for a long time, but they released this entire wave of Predator figures that were modeled after the old Kenner Predators from the 90s. So we got, like, you know, the translucent red Predator and just all, like, all these crazy ones that were
super cool.
And they're amazing. And, like, yeah. The packages that they came in were total nods to the old Kenner line. I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty obvious just going down this list that I'm a total sucker for anything that's nostalgic to the old toy lines. Because most of the things on my list are like that. But yeah, I love them.
Those are the best toys, I think, most of the time.
They are. Yeah. They're so cool. You know, they just remind you of all the cool stuff mm-hmm. you used to have, and they're just better than they used to be.
Well, they
and
are,
it's
that's
like
the thing, is because even when, and I don't know if everybody was like this or not, but I was a kid playing with toys, and I love playing with my He-Mans, and I love playing with my G.I. Joes, and any of those lines I got into, even these, you know, these offshoot ones, the RoboCaps and whatever.
Yeah.
I love playing with all those toys, but I always just thought, man, I just wish they did a little bit more.
Yeah, right?
I wish they moved a little bit better, they looked a little bit better, right? You know, but it's toys, whatever, you're a kid, you just kind of run with it. Well, now all the people who make these toys must have thought exactly how I did.
Yeah.
Because they've grown up and went, well, what if we just had all the same stuff? It just looked 1,000 times better and moved 1,000 times better.
Exactly.
And so we're just getting, like these toys are literally a dream come true.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because that's exactly what they are.
Absolutely. Yeah, and NECA, oh man, NECA's been so great this past year, too. They've really, really amped up their game, because not only have they made cool stuff like that Kenner Wave, but, like, the figures themselves are just, they're so much more articulated than the stuff they used to make. They're, like, a much nicer quality. The sculpts are amazing. I've been a real big fan of that company in general this whole last year, so kudos to them for that. And that's going to go right into number 6, which is another NECA item, which is the 8-bit Jason Voorhees. This makes my list because I think this was the start of what I think is one of the coolest ideas for a line of toys that I've seen in a long time. Back in the 80s, when the Nintendo was hot, we got so many, like, hodgepodged video games based on movies, where they were just basically trying to capitalize on the success of these popular movies to make some money off of a video game, and sometimes the games weren't so good or whatever. And games like this Friday the 13th movie are kind of notoriously bad. Even though I kind of remember enjoying that game.
Yeah,
I think
a lot of
people don't really... It's kind of one of those notoriously bad games. And one of the things that was goofy about it, of course, is a lot of these characters in these games, they were colored funny. They didn't look exactly like they looked in the films, and that had a lot to do with, you know, the limitations with the 8-bit mm-hmm. graphics and everything. So what NECA did is basically, again, licenses that they already had the rights to, they made this Jason Voorhees figure colored purple and glow-in-the-dark to look the way he looked in that video game, because he was, like, just a solid purple in that video game. But they packaged him in a box that looked like the NES game box.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just the coolest idea for a toy.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, so that was a San Diego exclusive, and I loved it, and I thought it was a great concept, and it was so popular that it spawned the creation of more figures like that. And now NECA is basically just running down all the licenses that they already have and making NES versions of these characters. So they followed it up with a Freddy Krueger that's all orange and yellow, the way he looked in his video game. There's a RoboCop coming out in February this year. They're hinting at a Predator after that. I mean, it's amazing. They've created this whole line of 8-bit themed characters that they already have rights to do toys of. It's just an amazing concept. So Jason makes my list for basically starting off that whole line,
because
I'm in love
and
with it.
And it is just super cool.
Yeah. Okay, number 5. Now we're getting into something that everybody's probably expecting me to get into. Masters of the Universe Classics Ram Man. Ram Man came out all the way back in January, so he kicked off the year. And I said way back in January, right away, that he was already in early running for Toy of the Year. And even though he only ended up at number 5 on my list, he's still a very, like, high 5. Like, I would honestly say that my top 5 toys are very, very neck and neck. They're very close together. And Ram Man is probably one of the most amazing figures that has come out in the Classics line so far. He's one that everybody had been waiting so long for. Mm-hmm. People wanted Ram Man so bad. It took him so many years.
It took so long, yeah.
Took him so many years to get to him, but it's because he's such a unique build. You know, mm-hmm. he can't use the standard body that all the other ones can. He's a 100% unique tool. Every bit of him is brand new. And they just... they really outdid themselves with him. I mean, he's so big and massive, and he's got a great sculpt. He matches the vintage card back, which is something that people wanted to see for a long time. Just an incredible figure all the way around. So he easily makes my top five. And he's not quite the best, I don't think, out of all the classics figures of the year, because that's actually going to go to my number four slot on my list, which is Masters of the Universe Classics Mantenna. And this one actually caps off the other end of the year. He came out at the very end of 2013. So the year started and ended with two of the best figures in the line, I think. Mantenna blew me away completely. He was a figure in the vintage line who didn't really get the... I guess he just wasn't really made as good as he could have been back then because of the limitations in that era. Mantenna was always meant to be a four-legged character, but in the vintage line, his legs were just molded together into two legs.
Yeah.
So they just kind of looked like it was four legs.
You know
how
long I owned that thing before I realized it was supposed to be four legs?
Yeah, supposed to be four legs, but they were just two legs kind of molded together. Of course, he had the eye-popping action feature that everybody remembered. But man, the Four Horsemen took that concept, and they just like totally made the Mantenna figure that we've always wanted to have. I mean, he looks really great. You know, you saw him in the cartoon where he had the four legs, and you kind of always wondered why your old toy didn't really look like that. And now we've got one that's got four fully posable legs that, you know, they didn't cut out any of their articulation. He's a great-looking sculpt. He still has the eye feature, but instead of a button, you just pop the eyes out and put the extended ones in. So if you want to display them that way, you can. All in all, he's just amazing. He's definitely my favorite figure for the year for Masters Classics.
Awesome.
Number three on my list is another NECA item, which is the Spider Gremlin. That is an amazing, amazing figure. This is another one that came out right at the end of the year. It came out like December. But it's a figure that they announced years ago, and it took them this long to finally get it released because it's such a big item. They had a hard time finding anybody to carry it and sell it. And they were finally able to get it released online and to specialty shops. And even though it was a long wait to get him, it was totally worth the wait because he's incredibly impressive. I've been a big fan of their Gremlin stuff anyway, but man, he takes the cake because the sculpt is amazing, the paint job's awesome, and the fact that he has fully articulated legs, all eight legs are fully posable, so you can just pose them all around, move them all over the place. He's massive. I mean, he barely fits on my shelf I've got him displayed on. Awesome, awesome toy. Number two goes to the Black Series Boba Fett from Hasbro. I really gushed about the Star Wars Black Series a lot this year because I have been waiting for 6-inch scale Star Wars figures for a very long time. Star Wars has always been in the 3 3/4-inch scale ever since the 70s. It's always been the small figures. And that's just the way it's always been. And I've always loved Star Wars toys, but I'm one of those guys who seriously got to a point where I was just like, I like Star Wars, but I don't feel like there's anything else I really, really need to buy with Star Wars toys, because you get to the point where they just keep making new versions of the same characters, you know, they're doing that kind of thing. And it was just too much. I couldn't do it anymore. So I stopped buying Star Wars toys. And I always said that the one thing that would bring me back into Star Wars collecting is if they brought out 6-inch scale superposable figures, and they finally did this year. And I really, really have loved the line. They kicked it off with the San Diego exclusive Boba Fett, and he is currently my favorite in that entire series. He's amazing. The sculpt is great. The articulation's awesome. It's exactly what I've always hoped for in a 6-inch Star Wars line. And I hope that line continues. I want to see many, many characters done in that scale. And then that's going to finally bring me to number one, which I'm sure will come as no surprise to anybody. It's the Masters of the Universe Classics Castle Grayskull playset. There's no reason that isn't number one. I mean, it has to be number one. There's nothing better than that, in my opinion, that came out in the entire year. It's amazing. I never, ever would have guessed that we would have gotten a new Castle Grayskull playset. When this line started back in 2008, I felt like we were lucky to even be getting He-Man toys again. The fact that they were $20 a piece already, I was like, there's no way we'll get a Castle Grayskull because it's going to be massive. It's going to be expensive. And it is massive, and it is expensive, but you know what? It's here, and it's amazing, and I just absolutely love it. It's the coolest piece I bought the entire year. I'm so happy to have it. So that's my list of top 10. It's like I said, it was hard for me to put together that list because there's a lot of cool things that came out.
It is, and it's hard to get it in order even once
it
you
is.
Do.
It
you
is,
know, yeah.
So I do have a few honorable mentions I'll run down real quick. First on honorable mentions, I have the Power Lords by Four Horsemen. And the only reason that I didn't really put them up any higher than that yet is because the line hasn't really started yet. This is another remake of a vintage 80s line, kind of an obscure one, but the Horsemen are working their magic. They're making some incredible new toys. They're GLaDOS compatible, which means you can interchange the parts. They kicked off this year with a few convention exclusives, like the Power Soldiers, but they haven't gotten any of the main characters yet. So, mostly those little guys that they kind of release at the conventions just have me very excited for 2014, where we're going to see the real line get released. Also in honorable mentions, I got to give another shout out to the Weaponeers of Mung-Ka line by Spy Monkey Creations, that my good friend Brian, who is our voiceover guy on this podcast, that's his toy line. Very cool toys. I'm very excited to see what they've got coming in 2014, but they did a couple cool convention exclusives this year where they made one guy, who was colored to look like He-Man. That was their PowerCon exclusive. I thought that was really neat. So fun little stuff like that. Definitely get some honorable mentions for the year. Still got to give a good shout out to the Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles toy line from Playmates. That's the one that's the basic figure line based on the new cartoon, which is definitely more kid friendly, but I really, really like that line. There haven't been nothing that came out this year broke my top 10. Last year, the Sewer Home made my list, but I still really like the line. It's still incredibly popular. Every store at Christmas sold out completely of Ninja Turtles.
Awesome.
Because it's still that popular with kids.
That's fantastic.
Like, None of the stores in town had any turtles on their pegs. It was amazing. And they're just now starting to stock back up again. So I think that's great to see turtles be so successful.
That's amazing.
Love it. And final honorable mention, which almost broke my top 10. It was real hard not to put them in there. But it's another NECA figure, and it's the figure of Dutch from Predator. We finally got an Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Predator line. And they've done several versions of him, and every single one of them are incredible. The sculpt is great. The articulation is great. I think it's awesome having that cool and that awesome of a likeness of Arnie in action figure form. It's awesome. Yeah. So that makes my honorable mention.
And it's something that's just been missing for so long.
Exactly, you know, right? Yeah. They've been making Predator figures for all these years, and they finally just now got the rights to do Arnie. Yep. You know, so we finally got Dutch.
Now, what are they doing Danny Glover?
Yeah, people are asking for it. I'm sure they're trying. It's just one of those things where they got to get the likeness rights.
Yeah.
But love it. Good stuff, man. NECA was obviously the big winner for me this year, but Mattel was right behind them. So.
Yeah.
There we go. That's my top list of toys from 2013, and I think there's going to be a lot of cool things coming out again this year, so I'm excited. All right, so with our best of the year out of the way, I think this is a good moment to go and take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in 2015? Stay tuned, guys.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
All right, gang, welcome back from the break. So we just got done talking about the best of 2013, and what we're gonna do now is actually talk about some of the movies that we're looking forward to in 2015, which is really funny.
You didn't put the question mark.
Oh, 2015? I'll put the question mark in the title for the episode.
There we go.
It's kind of funny. This discussion was actually spawned by an article I saw on Yahoo the other day, which really made me kind of go, whoa, 2015 is going to be an epic year for movies. And I think it was you who even mentioned, yeah, because 2014's got nothing, and then 2015's all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, it's got stuff, but it's nothing, man.
It's nothing compared to 2015. And I think it's funny because even in this article here on Yahoo, like, it starts by saying, forget 2014, here are the year from now movies that have us wishing we could travel into the future. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of go down this list that they've got of the stuff coming out in 2015 and just kind of discuss our thoughts on it and what we're
excited
about.
And that's the thing, man. Like, we're a pop culture episode. We're a pop culture show here.
Yep.
This is what we do. And if you're into pop culture and listening to us, this is the stuff you were excited about.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, there's you know, Captain America 2 is coming out this year. Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out this year.
Right, right, yep.
There is, for whatever reason, I'm completely blanking on summer of 2014, but I know there's stuff coming out I'm excited for, but nothing like 2015.
Yep, yep. So 2015, here we go. Let's run down this list here. It starts off with a big one. Star Wars Episode 7.
Not till Christmas now, though.
December 18th, 2015 is where it's is listed as the release date. But holy crap, it's a new Star Wars movie. And it's Episode 7.
And we have no idea what it is still.
We have no idea what's going on. And of course, this was big news when it was announced like a year ago. It's crazy they're rushing this out so fast, it feels like. But we were even just talking about before we were recording that we're at this really weird lull in Star Wars stuff right now. It hasn't been like this for almost as long as I can remember, because ever since Episode 1 came out all the way back in 99, we've had nonstop Star Wars since then.
Yeah.
You know, there's been something. We had the movies, we've had cartoons, a couple different cartoon series. You know, there's just been something that has kept Star Wars alive.
Video games and books and comics and everything out there, you know.
And I kind of feel like ever since this Disney takeover, it's just halted completely. And there's really nothing new Star Wars out right now. You know, I know comic stuff is still going, but even the big news there
is like... but that's all shifting.
Dark Horse is losing Star Wars back over to Marvel because Disney owns Marvel. The Clone Wars cartoon stopped.
Yeah.
There's no media on right now for Star Wars at all.
Yeah, there's just nothing.
You know, even the Star Wars toys right now are in kind of a weird state, because I think that's why they took this moment to do like the 6-inch scale figures and everything, because there's just nothing else to do toys of.
Yeah.
You know, there's no cartoon to do toys of. There's, you know, they don't have a movie until 2015. So 2015 is going to kick off this whole new era for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, it's going to be everywhere again, because, you know, Disney's plan is to do a movie a year after that, which is insane. Plus, we've got a new cartoon series starting, the Rebels
A new Star Wars every year.
I know, right?
For the foreseeable future.
Isn't that insane?
It's mind-blowing.
And I'm excited, and especially now that I've got a son. Holy cow, I'm so excited that he's going to get Star Wars stuff every year.
I mean, think back to when we were kids, you know, 1988, 1993, anywhere in that realm where you hadn't seen a Star Wars movie since 83.
Yeah. Right,
and
Return
you
of the
didn't
Jedi.
Think you'd ever see another one.
I know.
You thought it was, and that was fine. Whatever, you just kind of lived with it. And then they announced those prequels, and you're like, man, that's three more movies we get to look forward to now. And then they're going to be great. They're probably going to be the best things ever. And you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You know? But
I like three.
But yeah, I like two.
Yeah,
I like three. but it's just you didn't know that you would ever see anything again, and then you thought you'd see a little bit here and there, and now it's just like, nope, Disney's going to Disney it.
Yep.
And I mean that in a good way.
I do too.
And they're just going to run. And so you get an episode 7, 8, and 9 with 2 years between them, I believe.
Yep.
And in the years between them, you will get some other kind of Star Wars movie.
They've been talking about doing standalones.
And it all starts in 2015.
Yep. They've been talking about doing standalone movies of certain characters. Like, they haven't said any specifics yet, but they've talked about things that they want to do. And stuff like that is just so exciting to me, because that is the kind of thing that we've, as Star Wars fans all our lives, we've always thought about wanting to see stuff like that. Like, I want to see a Han Solo story. I want to see a Boba Fett
and
story.
And the whole point of all that expanded universe stuff they do is to be able to tell these stories. And now finally somebody went, hey, people like these movies.
Yeah.
Let's do them as movies.
Now they're going to make
them
like canon. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the other big things, too, is like, because for years and years, they've always basically, all of that stuff that's like in comics and those books and even a lot of the video games weren't necessarily canon. George Lucas always said the movies are canon and that's it. But now what Disney's doing is Disney's basically making it so that everything that's coming out under their banner is canon.
Which is, I think, why they kind of shut everything else down.
Yeah.
And they're giving you a little bit of break between that stuff.
Yep.
And we're, you know, I'm sensing it already. We're going to have to do a Star Wars episode.
Mm-hmm.
Soon.
We might have to do
sometime
more.
This year for sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
There's 100 things I could bring up right now that I'm trying not to. Just for time purposes, you know.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and move on to the next big, big one. This is going to be a huge one, obviously, for us. May 1st, 2015 sees the release of The Avengers Age of Ultron.
And I think, man, it's hard to say because I love Star Wars. This might be my number one for the year, anticipation-wise, though. Which is funny because once the first Avengers came out, I wouldn't think there'd be a possible chance that anything would possibly be bigger than an Avengers 2. And then J.J. Abrams and Disney were like, what about Star Wars 7? I'm like, touche. You know? But, I mean, let's just call them neck and neck and go with it that way. But, man, I can't wait.
And
so,
look.
Yeah.
Avengers and Star Wars, how much money is Disney going to make that year?
You know, I bet you, because Star Wars was slated for the summer and they pushed it back. And they say it's for story purposes and to give them more time to flesh out the movie. But I'm betting it's probably because they couldn't handle all that money at once.
That's too much money.
They were going to go into money overload.
We don't know
so they
to
had
do
to spread it out.
With all this money.
But they're doing the Age of Ultron. That should be cool. Ultron's a real neat character. I know they're deviating some because he was supposed to have been originated by Pym, and Pym's not coming around to that crazy Ant-Man movie we've already talked about, which is also 2015. I don't remember if it's on this list or not. I think it might be.
I think it is.
But James Spader is one of my television favorites. I've always loved James Spader. Well, at least since Boston Legal, I can't necessarily say always. He was fine in Stargate, I guess, but then I sort of forgot about him, and then he did a bunch of weird movies, and then he showed back up on TV and was super entertaining. So he'll be playing the villain. He should be super fun. And even if he's in, you know, robot mode and it's just his voice, him interacting with Robert Downey Jr. should be a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Really looking forward to that movie. Can't say enough about it.
Awesome, awesome. All right, number three, getting released July 17th, 2015, Batman versus Superman. If anything, this is going to give us something to talk about, right?
Hey, we can do 2.5 hours on that, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
When it comes out.
Look, I have my fingers crossed that we're going to love that movie.
I'm hoping.
Man, I hope we leave that movie and we're just like, thank you, Warner Brothers.
I'm hoping. I do love me some Ben Affleck.
But anybody that's listened to this show at all already knows.
Did you see the Golden Globes?
No, I did not.
And maybe it could have just been my TV. I was just sort of passing through the room. Maybe I saw it completely wrong, but I just sort of got the impression that Affleck looked a little pudgy for a guy doing 2-a-day workouts trying to get ready to play Batman.
Oh, no.
So
that's not
I'm
good.
Wondering what, you know, hoping I saw that wrong, but, but we shall see. But it's, a, you know, cautious optimism. Is what I will show.
All right.
They're going to make this movie. I might as well look forward to
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right?
And
we're going to see it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
we're definitely going to watch it. So we got to know.
We'll either love it or tell you very clearly what's wrong with it. That's my promise to you, audience.
Absolutely. All right. Number four, coming out November 20th of 2015, is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. This, of course, is the sequel to Mockingjay, which is coming out in 2014, right? This year, we're getting the first part of Mockingjay.
Yes.
But even like you already talked about with Catching Fire, these have been very enjoyable movies far. This will be the finale of the whole series, so that's going to be a big deal in 2015 that they're ending the Hunger Games franchise.
Here's another, not to be too disparaging about it, but it's another thing where I'm going to call it cautious optimism, because to my experience thus far, which I think is pretty much Harry Potter and the Hobbit movies, splitting a story into two parts just to make more money doesn't necessarily always do best for the story. I like the Hobbit. Like, I haven't seen the second Hobbit yet. I did like the first one. I'm sure I'll like the other two. But the fact that they took that book that was smaller than any of the Lord of the Rings books
and made
split
it
into three-hour movies.
Isn't that weird?
It totally took me out of it.
Yeah.
I was excited for it, and then they made it two, and I went, all right, I can take two. And then they made it three, and I went, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'll see him. I'm not probably going to pay for him, but I'll go watch him, and they'll be fine. I'm just not going to be excited. I didn't see the Twilight ones, but they did it with the Harry Potter ones. And again, I didn't read any of the books, so I don't know what they did include, didn't include, could have cut out. What I do know is this: Deathly Hallows Part 1 is really long and really boring, and nothing happens.
Yep.
And they could have made that a half an hour and tacked it on and made Deathly Hallows Part 2 a half an hour longer.
Yeah, Part 2 was awesome.
You know, yeah. And
I
not,
loved
and not,
Part 2.
And I don't even think it really cracked 2 hours. It was only right around there. They could have made it closer to the 3 region, put all of that stuff in there without boring the pants off of me, and it would have been a much better movie. So I'm hoping that, you know, like, as much as I like these Hunger Game movies, I'm hoping that they actually have a reason and they you know, fully flush out two solid movies out of it. But I'm going to be scared until I see it, because when I saw this on the list, I went, oh no, I thought that ended in 2014. Oh, it does say Part 2. Man, it says Part 2. But I like these movies. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see what goes on. All right. The number five they've got listed is Bond 24.
Probably won't be called that.
Yeah, that's just the 24th Bond movie. So it's the next James Bond movie. Comes out November 6, 2015. Once again, starring Daniel Craig as James Bond. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to say that I feel really bad, because I really like Bond movies. I really liked
Casino Royale.
Loved Casino Royale. I didn't watch either of the other two that he did. I don't know why I haven't seen them yet. I just haven't.
Maybe we can do a Bond episode, we should, too. We're just flushing out episodes. Yeah. Let us know what you guys want to hear.
Because the order we'll do them in.
I do really like Bond movies, so I'm sure I'll see this at some point. I do. It'll maybe this right here will give me the excuse to watch the two I haven't seen yet.
And you need to watch them, and then we need to talk because I have some opinions.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Definitely.
But I'd like to know what you think.
All right. Next up, Fast and the Furious 7, which is set to release April 10th of 2015. This one got bumped back, of course.
Yeah, back to a somber note because this was supposed to come out this April.
Yep.
This June.
Yep.
Yeah, this June it was, and I got pushed back to next April. June, July, whatever. It was supposed to come out this summer.
Yep.
And due to obvious reasons. Now, what I have at least heard, because for a while, they completely backtracked. They stopped between Vin Diesel and Universal, I think it is, that releases these, and all those guys were going, we don't have a clue what to do now. Because the star of your Fast and Furious car movie died in a car accident. So what do you do that is
appropriate?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to offend anybody. Yeah, you don't want to offend the family. Yep. You don't want to,
it's one of those deals where I'm under the impression that, if I'm Paul Walker and that happens to me, I want my movie to go, I want you to give me the most spectacular on-screen death you can muster with the footage you have of me,
Yeah.
But even if that's his wishes, you also have to convince the public that, hey, we're not just trying to capitalize on something terrible, So there's a lot of, stuff to dance around there. And they had talked about completely scrapping everything and starting from scratch just without him. And it is my understanding that they are not doing that. They're using, I think, one of his brothers, or his only brother, maybe.
Yeah.
Somebody from his family is sort of a stand-in to finish some action shots.
Yeah, I think it's
his
brother. Yeah.
And they're going to edit around it, and they're going to keep him in there. But you can tell from when this happened how close-knit everybody in that movie was as a family.
Right.
And especially Vin Diesel and him. Vin Diesel has talked about him as nothing but a brother.
Right.
Since it's happened. So I have every confidence that whatever they're going to do is going to be respectful, but I'm really glad he's at least going to make it, because I think that's what he would have wanted to be in there.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd be totally cool if they find a way to just give him like an off-screen happy ending or something, and have him kind of walk away from the whole thing, go, because he has like a family now, right?
Yeah.
We got to see it briefly in the last movie.
Yeah.
Like if there was just some reason given for him to finally get out of it and go have a happy ending with his wife and his kid.
I'd be cool with that.
Like they could totally do that and still keep the action going with Vin Diesel and The Rock and all the rest of those guys for another movie after that. I'm curious for sure. We'll definitely see it. All right, next up on the list, and I'm not entirely sure how I feel about this one yet, but June 19th, 2015 is the Fantastic Four reboot. This is another thing that Fox is starting over. They're rebooting Fantastic Four. The only reason they're doing it is because they don't want Marvel to have the rights to Fantastic Four. That's how I feel.
So the motivation
at least
is wrong. No, that's 100% true. I don't even think they'd argue with that.
So, and then the blurb on here I found interesting because I hadn't even heard anything about this yet, but it says this is not an X-Men crossover movie yet. The details are still sketchy on whether we'll be seeing Johnny Storm alongside Wolverine. But we're totally enthused to see this comic book movie reboot.
Because everyone who has the rights to Marvel characters is trying to figure out how to do expanded universe stuff with what they have.
Okay.
Because they're all trying to follow the Marvel. That's why Spider-Man is doing, they're doing Spider-Man 2, 3, and 4, and they're also already talking about a standalone Venom movie and a standalone Sinister Six movie, potentially. All sorts of stuff. They're taking whatever gallery of characters they have and trying to figure out how to make, not just more movies, but more group type movies with it. So Fox has already talked about going, all right, well, we don't have any, the big names as far as the New York guys go, but we do have the X-Men and we do have the Fantastic Four, and maybe somewhere along the line, those guys exist in the same universe.
Which are kind of big names in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, I was just saying, a lot of times with a lot of the New York characters, you can see Spider-Man swinging around and you can see Four Freedoms Plaza in the background.
Yeah.
They don't have like the New York guys, but they do have a bunch of characters.
Right.
And so they can maybe do something with it. I'm not really sure why I'm hesitant about this movie. I think it's because I've heard so little detail-wise.
Well, I know some of the stuff I heard, and I don't even know if this was confirmed yet, but I remember reading some stuff that they were making Johnny Storm black in this version, but that Sue Storm was still white because they were making them half-brother and sister instead.
Yeah, they had talked about, I think, that Michael B. Jordan kid.
Stuff like that I'm just like, guys, you're doing that unnecessary, change for the sake of change thing, and I don't need that.
Yeah.
Why would you make make Johnny and Sue half brother and sister. Yeah. Why? What purpose does that serve? Like, seriously, that serves no purpose whatsoever. Yeah, like,
absolutely.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm just like, guys, give it all back to Marvel and let them do it the right way. Come on.
Well, and I just think, too, like, I liked those first Fantastic Four movies.
I liked
them,
too. I
thought they were what Fantastic Four movies probably should be.
Yeah. I liked them fine, yeah.
I mean, they were campy, but they were family fun. That's what Fantastic Four is, the first family of Marvel Comics, you know. They are goofy stories for the most part. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, fun. You know, it would be, you know, the Disney stories of a Marvel Universe, not there to mix go. Metaphors here with reality too much. But yeah, you know right. what I mean. If you're reading your action stories from Spider-Man and X-Men, and, you know, X-Men's more your political and... You know, there's some real heavy stuff in there. And then you go for the family-friendly stuff, you switch over and you read some Fantastic Four, and that's how it goes. And so those movies were campy and cheesy and fun, but they had decent effects and the acting was fine, and I enjoyed them. And I think that's part of one of my fears right now is going, well, I liked those fine for what they were. Are they going to take this new one and try to do what they do with everything else with it? Because if they try to turn this into some heavy... you know, X-Men storyline about exclusion or Batman storyline about darkness in the real world or try to make it something that it's not, which seems to be the trend with the fun stories, I'm not going to enjoy it that much. So until I know more, I'm just going to be scared.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's how I feel too. Next couple on the list, I didn't even know it's a terrible amount about until I saw the list, but, coming out March 13, 2015 is a live action Cinderella movie from mm-hmm. Disney. I don't know much about it. Is this actually going to be like Disney's Cinderella, but a live action version? Or is this like a modern day telling of Cinderella?
No, I believe it's, they just did the Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah.
Now they're doing that more.
Okay. So
I believe it'll be, I don't think it'll be modern
Disney,
day.
This one's actually Disney though. So that's cool. Cause Disney didn't do Snow White and the Huntsman, did they? I don't think they did. Cause that was more serious.
Yeah. I had thought they had, but I could be wrong.
They do have that Maleficent movie coming out this year, which looks kind of cool. Yeah.
I'm not a big Angelina Jolie
fan. Yeah.
Thing,
and neither am I, but every time I see that trailer, I'm kind of like, okay, that was kind of, because, and my wife's real excited because Maleficent's her favorite Disney villain. She's kind of crazy, and she likes the Sleeping Beauty story. So I think that's going to be fun, and if they do more things like that, that might be kind of neat. So
and this is, like I said, I'm not going to be excited about this, but it could be cool.
Yeah, probably
Snow
end up
White
going
and the Huntsman wasn't great, but it had some fun parts.
I'll probably end up going to see it, because I'm sure Christina will want to, and I won't object to seeing it, you know? So I'll go check it out. Next one on the list is also, it's Insurgent, which comes out March 20th, 2015, which is the sequel to Divergent, which hasn't actually come out yet. That's a movie that's getting ready to come out.
Yeah, it's coming out early this year.
That's another series of books, that another one that my wife has read and really likes.
It's one of the most teen fad things.
So I'm
pretty scared for the movie because of that Shailene Woodley or whatever her name is.
Is that the chick in the movie?
Yeah,
the
and I don't
Secret
think,
Life.
I don't
girl.
Think she's very good.
I don't either.
She's that chick that got they cast her in Spider-Man, and then according to the press releases, they just didn't have room for Mary Jane in that movie like they thought they did. And according to my own opinion, probably they hired her and put her in a few scenes and went,
whoa, she was going to be Mary Jane?
Yeah, she was supposed to be.
Thank goodness she's not Mary Jane.
And then they canned her and cut character completely out of the movie.
And now they got somebody else playing her, right?
No, not for this one.
No,
I think
Mary
they're
going
to bring her
still?
In later, yeah.
Ah, wow. Well, hopefully it's not her. Because I'm not a big fan.
Pretty
either.
Sure it won't be.
Next up is Minions, coming out July 3rd, 2015. Have you seen any of the Despicable Me movies?
I haven't.
They are very good and very funny. Yeah. And so we're getting a spinoff movie just about the Minions, which makes total sense because they steal those movies. They've become huge fan favorites. Kids love them.
Yep.
Makes total sense to make a movie just about those characters. Yep. Number 11 is a pretty crazy one that's been in the works for what feels like ever. June 12th, 2015, we're getting Jurassic World.
Uh-huh.
The new Jurassic Park movie is coming out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
At least 10 years after the Jurassic Park 3, I think.
And I know they've been talking about a new Jurassic Park movie for, as long as I can remember
about it. Dude, they have had some crazy ideas. I don't know for sure what they're doing with this one. My impression is it's just another bigger theme park type thing, but I could be way off on that. But I just remember hearing a story, I'll try to recap as brief as I can, about a script that had made some waves because I don't remember who made it or who liked it or whatever, but it kind of came close to being made. But basically it was about how dinosaurs had gotten free and they had become sort of a problem, and then other companies had tried doing genetic things. And so they sent, somebody hires this mercenary guy to go in and get the can of Barbasol that Nedry had dropped in the first one.
Oh, wow.
To find it somewhere.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting caught and captured and recruited into this program where this other place had taken the dino DNA and fused it with humans and made, like, humanoid dinosaur mercenaries. And
what?
He was, like, leading the squad of them now. Insane stuff.
Oh, my God. That is not... Oh, my God.
Well, and it's one of those, you hear that story and you go, how bizarre is that? And then you find out that, like, some people actually liked that script and it had traction. And you go, oh, well, that could have been the craziest thing ever, you know?
That...
and. And
that just doesn't feel like it fits in with the rest of those movies.
At all.
That
not
feels
at
like
all.
A completely different...
Not at all. It's insane.
Goodness.
But that's it's the track this movie has gone. It went from, hey, let's make a sequel to Jurassic Park, to, hey, let's make the craziest thing ever, back down to, I believe, a more grounded, hey, let's make a sequel to Jurassic Park. know?
Awesome. Well, I'm excited about it. We just got
plus
to
more
see...
Chris Pratt.
We saw the 3D re-release just this past year, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
I love
cool.
Jurassic Park, so I'm excited to see the new one. Next up on the list isn't necessarily one that I don't think we're going to be excited for, but I'm sure it's going to be a big deal this year.
Fart noise.
Yeah, February 13th, 2015 is 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. Obviously, that book got lots of attention this past year, so they rushed a movie out of it to make more money on it, and all the ladies are going to go see it, I'm sure.
You know, it started as Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
That's insane.
Isn't that stupid? Yeah. That's dumb. Okay.
Chicks are dirty.
Next up on the list, we've talked about this one already, July 31st, 2015 is Ant-Man. So that's going to be awesome. I think we've already said enough about
that.
Yeah,
I think
so. May 22nd, this one is going to be pretty neat, I think. Another Disney movie called Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard very little about this one. Other than it's supposed to be some sort of like a live action fantasy film. It's supposed to have very, like, futuristic or retro-futuristic elements, like the Tomorrowland section of the theme park, but it's, like, a standalone story by itself.
And that's, it is. It's just, like, an adventure in the park, right?
I think it's something like that, yes. It's got George Clooney stars in the movie. It says he's a gifted inventor who discovers a mysterious box deep within Disney's animation archives. Tomorrowland is another Disney film that's about itself. sets it apart. It's a trippy, futuristic mystery calling out real physical Disney relics. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
That sounds super neat.
Yeah.
So much fun. And I love the Disney parks. Tomorrowland is my favorite part of the Disney parks, just because I'm a big fan of that whole retro futuristic kind of feel. I think that's a very cool thing. So I think that's going to be a fun movie. I'm excited about that. And the very last one they've got on the list is a movie called Inside Out, which is Pixar's next big movie. I don't really know anything about it, except for some reason it's being billed as Pixar's most innovative creation to date.
That's because everything is always billed as the most something of whatever. And I'm just reading, and it does sound neat. It says right here, it's the story centers around the emotions inside the mind of a little girl, and each feeling is represented by a distinct character. And that does sound like a neat idea.
It does.
It's not the most innovative idea I've ever heard, because I used to watch it on Fox every week when it was called Herman's Head.
Well, it also sounds like a theme park ride that they used to have at Disney, which for whatever reason I can't remember right now. Cranium Command.
Oh, okay.
Where they had
that.
A whole thing where, like, you basically, the whole ride was one of those movie kind of rides where you'd sit in the theater to watch this whole thing play out, but the idea was that you were, like, inside of the head of a young adolescent boy, and all the different parts of the body were played by different characters. Like, Hans and Franz were, like, the lungs, I think it was, and stuff like that, you know? And so when I read this about this movie at first, I was like, it's like a movie of Cranium Command or something. You know, it kind of sounds like that. So I definitely think it's a fun idea.
Immediately, the most innovative idea they've ever had, we've related to two other ideas that are exactly the same. And that's all I mean. I'm not downplaying it. I'm sure it'll be a fun movie, because Pixar only does quality stuff. It's just sometimes they go overboard with the... I saw, this is a little bit off track, but I saw a commercial the other day on CBS, and they were like, you know, we're the network that's got the most, you know, the most watched show on TV, and they show, like, you know, NCIS or CSI or one of those shows, whatever, and they're like, and the best, you know, old comedy and the best new comedy, and they're showing the promos. And they go, and now we have the number one new show on all of television. And they showed this promo for that Josh Holloway show, Intelligence, which had aired one episode like 2 days before. You may be jumping the gun there.
Yeah, a little
bit. I'm sure a lot of people probably watched that first episode. It probably didn't break any records, you know?
Greatest show of all time ever made right here.
Yeah, you know, calm down, guys.
as a society, we're okay with just pretty good sometimes.
Yeah, right? Oh, man, so much hype. But I think 2015, just by looking at that list alone, that's some amazing
stuff
coming up.
We're going to do so many episodes
on 2015. Oh, my gosh, there's going to be so many things to talk about.
We're going to do way more episodes on 2015 than we do in 2015.
I know, probably. Probably. Yeah, very exciting stuff. There's a lot of cool things I'm very much looking forward to. Awesome. Well, I think that is really going to bring us to the end of this week's episode. Talked a little bit about some of the cool things that we saw in 2013, talked about stuff coming up in the year ahead of us here, and I think that's a great stopping point for this particular episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
We can do a small preview, or are we done?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, we can do a small preview if we want, because we've talked about some upcoming episodes. We've talked about, since episode one, I think, we've talked about talking about Community.
Yes, yes.
And I'm finally getting Dan started on that tomorrow, so I don't know when the episodes will come or if we'll do them season by season or what, but soon Community episodes will be coming. And then another thing, to give the audience time to catch up if they need to also, a really cool thing coming this year is the fan-funded movie version of Veronica Mars that's coming out in March,
that's
right in the middle of March. And so Dan and I have already agreed that always looked like an interesting show. Neither of us just ever really watched it, but we're both of the Buffy vein and all of that stuff.
Right.
You know, the shows on similar networks that were around similar times. And just the idea of one of these shows dying and then finally the fans getting together. And this was all done through Kickstarter.
Yeah.
The guy who made the show, Rob Thomas, I think his name is, came on Kickstarter and went, "Hey guys, we've always wanted to make this movie. Nobody will give us money. If you guys give us money, we'll make the movie." And got, you know, Kristen Bell and everything on board. And so now this movie's coming out in March. So me and Dan are going to make sure between now and then that we watch all three seasons of Veronica Mars.
That's right.
And either, we haven't decided yet, it'll all matter on timing. Either the last episode of February will be a recap of Veronica Mars, looking forward to the movie, or the first episode will be of March will be a recap of Veronica Mars and a recap of the movie.
Absolutely.
One of the two. But that's another thing we got coming up. So again, as always, if you guys have any requests, concepts, things we touch on that you'd like to hear us expand on, give us ideas, because we're doing these twice a month, and sometimes it takes us a few minutes to figure out what we're going to talk about.
Right,
so
right.
We're more than happy to take your requests and ideas into mind and see what we can come up with.
Absolutely, yeah, guys. And we try to stay on anything that's basically pop culture centric. So, you know, TV shows, movies, you know, toys, anything like that you want us to talk about, recommendations are always welcome, because we can definitely squeeze any of that kind of stuff in.
I will just say this much, though. We don't have time to catch up on all of Doctor Who.
Oh, my gosh, no. That is just...
So don't suggest that over and over again.
That is going to be an undertaking. The day that I finally decide I'm going to check out Doctor Who, I'm kind of afraid of that day, because, man...
I'm going to have to wait till I retire.
Yeah, right.
And by then, there'll be 100 years of it.
That's going to be nuts. Another thing, guys, since we gave our top lists of movies and toys from 2013, I'd love to hear from you guys, too.
Yeah,
so, you know, these lists are always completely subjective. Yep. Like we said, these were personal lists. So I would love to know what you thought was the best of the year.
Tell us what we're wrong about and get mad about it.
Get mad about it, yes. And get angry. Get angry. You guys can post your comments, of course, right here on this post at pixel-dan.com. That's a great way to post all your comments in one place, and I'll always be there to, you know, chat back with you guys. But you can also find us both on Twitter if you want to talk to us that way. So what is your Twitter handle, John?
It's jleonard31, J-L-E-O-N-A-R-D 3-1. At JLeonard31,
I
guess, yeah.
Yep, and you guys can find me at Pixel Dan. And lots of people do get in touch with us on Twitter, which is really cool. So feel free to chat with us about the episode, send some recommendations our way, and we'll definitely talk back with you guys. So that is going to wrap up another episode of the Geek Easy Podcast. So until the end of the month, my name's Pixel Dan.
And I'm Jonathan Leonard.
We'll see you guys then.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geek Easy Podcast.